Good morning, church. You can rise to your feet today as we go into worship.
I saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection power. Still the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. Oh, my praise belongs to you forever.
Come on, sing it out.
This is my testimony from dead to life. 'Cause grace rewrote my story, I'll testify. Sons and daughters, bound with blood and washed in water, sing the praises of the Spirit, Son and Father. Our God will finish what He started. Yeah, our God will finish what He started. This is my testimony from dead to life. 'Cause grace we wrote story, I'll testify. By Jesus Christ the righteous, I'm justified. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. This is my testimony. Yeah.
Come on, put your hands together, let's go. Come on, let's sing this today.
If I'm not dead, you're not done, no. Greater things are still to come, oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done, no, no. Greater things are still to come, oh, I believe. If I'm not dead, you're not done.
Big praise today.
Hallelujah. Amen, amen. What a testimony we have in Jesus. Amen. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, we got to testify. We know who we are because we know who He is. Amen. I know who I am because I know. Salvation was only
How many of you in the house today believe that nothing is impossible for the Lord? Say amen. And how many of you today have a situation in your own life or somebody near you who needs a turnaround from the Lord in some situation? I want us to reach out to the Lord today and believe the Lord for a mighty turnaround to take place. If we believe that God is on the throne and He is working, as we've sung this morning, if we believe that He sees us right where we are and that He loves us today and that He is for us, not against us, amen, then we believe God can and will turn situations around to bring us deliverance, to bring us healing, to bring us new direction, whatever we need. He's the great turner arounder, amen. If you're here today and you'd say, I have a situation that is going in the wrong direction and I need a turnaround from the Lord, I want you to exercise faith and confidence and testimony this morning and step out from where you're standing right now, and I want us to come and stand across the front and lay it all right now at the altar. If you need right now a turnaround in some situation in your life, don't hesitate. Come on. Come on and stand across the front. And let's testify to the congregation today that we believe our God is on the throne. He is able, and He's going to do a turnaround in our situation today. Can we believe together? If you're not coming today, begin to pray for those who are coming, asking the Lord to turn situations around, to reverse the curse and the negative that maybe seems to be coming into our lives, and to bring about His favor and His blessing and His deliverance. Let's begin to pray all across the sanctuary right now for miracles to take place in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pastors, come right now and begin to just pray over the people of God, believing the Lord to minister and move right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that nothing is too hard for You today. We believe You, Lord God. We know that You are the healer. You are the deliverer. You are the bondage breaker, Lord Jesus. You are the chain breaker, O Lord. You are the one who opens doors that no one can shut. Nothing is too hard for You, Lord. We thank You, Father, that You are able to give us right now that sweet assurance that You are on the throne and You are in control. You have not abandoned us, O Lord. You know us right where we are, and You are working, O Lord. Turn situations around and bring relief right now into our spirits, into our minds, into our hearts. We know, Lord God, that You are working. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your healing, reinvigorating power right now. The strength, O Lord, that renews us, O Lord, makes us like the eagle, O God, causes us to be able to walk and not be weary, Lord, to experience the power of God, the presence of God in our lives today. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You. I hear a word from the Old Testament prophet come into my spirit right now that declares, in rest and confidence is your salvation. Can we right now just rest in the Lord and turn it over to the Lord right now? Thank You, Lord. We refuse to fear. We refuse to worry. We refuse to allow the enemy to take advantage of difficult seasons to damage our minds and our spirits. We thank You, Lord, that You are the giver of peace that surpasses understanding today. We thank You, Lord. Our confidence, our assurance, our trust is in the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in horses and chariots, but we remember the name of the Lord our God, who is mighty to save, mighty to deliver, mighty to provide, mighty to lead us, O Lord, in the name of Jesus. Thank You, Lord. 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 Declare it today. You'll turn it around. You'll turn it around. come on, you'll turn it around. So much for your presence here with us today, Lord, for the the working, the moving of your Holy Spirit in our hearts, our lives, our situations today. We humbly declare, O Lord, that we need you. But that's no problem because we have you. You are our Father, O God. Jesus, you're our Savior. Holy Spirit, you are our counselor and our strength giver. We thank you, Lord, for supplying all of our needs today according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. We surrender every situation into your hands today. And we place our own lives, O Lord, in the palm of your hand as well, our Heavenly Father. And we thank you for the privilege of knowing that no one and nothing is able to snatch us out of the palm of your hand. We rest securely in you this morning. And we thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone together says amen. Amen and amen. Good morning, everyone. And welcome to church today. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Could somebody say amen? Amen. Thank you for being in church this morning. And would you take a moment before you're seated for a couple of moments to reach out and greet one another and welcome everybody as well to church, please. God bless you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, we want to welcome you if you're here for today for the first time. We welcome you especially. I met a lady right before service. This is her fourth Sunday here, right back here, sitting with Laura Cohen there. Welcome, welcome. And we're so glad to have you again today. And yes, yes, yes. Give her a good hand clap, a First Assembly welcome. And if you are here for the first time, please stop by our Welcome Center out in the lobby after service for a little gift, and we'd love to get better connected with you. So glad to have you with us today. We want to remind you of a very important announcement that affects the schedule this week. There will be no Wednesday night services this week due to the fact that we'll be meeting on Tuesday evening this week at 7 o'clock to host the Evangel University Singers. It's going to be a great night together in the presence of the Lord, worshiping together. We are our own, I don't know which of the girls it is. One of our girls, is it Rebecca? Our own Rebecca Cheney will be the star of the show that night, at least in our eyes, she will be. And so we're delighted to welcome the Evangel Singers this Tuesday night at 7. That will take the place of our Wednesday evening services. And so we invite you to make plans now to be a part of that and to come and join us. I see Nina Meek sitting there in the middle, so I'll mention that Nina is working on right now putting together a team to help with cleanup at Camp Barnabas. And if you're interested and available maybe to help with that ministry, Camp Barnabas is a camp for young people with disabilities, and a great ministry that we have been a part of in a variety of ways over the years. And Nina will be leading that. So contact Nina Meeks or the church office today or later on this week if you're interested in being a part of the team to minister there. We also want to wish a very, very happy birthday to our own Michael Boyce. Michael, happy birthday today. Nobody ever says to me, "Today's my birthday, Pastor." Somebody else always gives me the word. And so, Michael, we're so grateful for you. And Michael serves our church in many capacities and also serves, I believe, at River Oak on the board of directors at River Oak Christian Academy here in Jefferson City, where his wife also is a teacher. And we're grateful for that ministry as well. So happy birthday, Michael. Is anybody else turning a year older today. Any other birthdays in the room? When I was a kid growing up in church, we announced birthdays and people came up and put a nickel in a cup and got a pencil in exchange. We have no pencils to give out, but if it, Michael, if it make you feel better, there's an ink pen in that seat in front of you. You're welcome to have that as your birthday gift today, and God bless you. All right, let's stand together. I think we're going to sing about our cornerstone, the Lord Jesus, this morning. So let's stand together. We want to thank you so much, all of you, for your faithful tithing and giving to the ministries here at First Assembly. We do not take that for granted, and we're thankful for the Lord's provision for you and through you to the ministries here at First Assembly and around the world. So let's sing together, Heidi. Come and lead us, please.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest man.
Said amen. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated this morning. Thank you to our worship team this morning for their excellent and anointed ministry. We appreciate them so very much. And everybody else who's ministering around the buildings today, thank you for your ministry, for the security team outside, and everybody else. We thank you so much for working and serving the Lord here. We're going to talk about serving the Lord and answering his call to follow him in service and in ministry today as we come to another story in the ministry of Jesus after he had risen from the dead. Last Sunday morning, we examined the story of Thomas, who finally stopped doubting and chose to believe in the Lord Jesus and lived a life as a great apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ. Today, we come to the story of a heart-to-heart meeting that took place between Jesus and Peter sometime after the resurrection on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. We read from the Gospel of John chapter 21 at verse number 15 these words. When they had finished eating, and there they are on the shore, Jesus has just cooked up a supper of fish. I'll forgive Jesus for that. I'm not a fish eater. You know, for years and years, people have said to me, well, you would like my fish because it doesn't taste fishy. Have you ever heard anyone say that? The only one I would ever believe that statement from would be the Lord Jesus. If he serves me fish someday, I'll gladly partake and I will enjoy. And Jesus had just cooked a supper of fish on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. His disciples were there, and as supper came to a close, the scripture says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who's going to betray you? And when Peter saw him, he asked, well, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the brothers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple, John, who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Would you say amen? Amen. Thank God for his mercy this morning. Mercy for our failures, for our mistakes, for our sins, and for our shortcomings. Is there anybody here who would admit that at one time or another you have failed the Lord in some big or small way? We know that's the case. And yet our Lord is a Lord of great mercy and patience and love. And today in the scriptures, we examine the mercy of Jesus poured out on Peter, the apostle Peter. Our story takes place on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. It was on that same seashore a few years earlier, that Jesus had found Peter and Andrew fishing along the shore. They were commercial fishermen, and Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will make you to be fishers of men." And the Bible declares that Peter and Andrew immediately left their fishing nets behind and their fishing boats behind and followed Jesus. And it had been a powerful 3+ years of ministry. Peter followed Jesus for 3 years in the ministry. And in those years, Peter had experienced more than most people would ever experience in a lifetime. Following Jesus along, Peter had been renamed by Jesus. His name had been Simon, but Peter was renamed by Jesus to be called the Rock, Peter the Rock. Out of hundreds of disciples, Peter was appointed to be one of the 12 apostles of the Lord Jesus. And we could rightly argue, I think, that even among the 12, Peter rose to the top as a leader among the 12. He was favored by Jesus and he was chosen by Jesus. Peter had heard countless hours of Jesus' teaching and preaching. He'd seen countless miracles performed by the Lord Jesus. He had watched Jesus calm the stormy sea. Peter had watched Jesus walk on water. And by the way, Peter had walked on water himself at the invitation of Jesus. I want you to know that's better than any roller coaster you'd ever find. Walking on water with Jesus. And Peter had climbed a mountain with Jesus. He had looked into the face of Moses and Elijah there on the mountain. And Peter had made that great confession about Jesus. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Peter was there when Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And Peter would even cut off a soldier's ear in the garden, trying to defend Jesus. But then would come the darkest chapter in Peter's life. Jesus would be arrested, and in the courtyard of the high priest's office, Peter would deny even knowing Jesus. Now it's hard to say you love somebody and in the next moment deny that you even know them. And yet Peter had denied knowing Jesus out of fear. They would challenge him, "You're one of the disciples," but Peter would swear 3 times in a row, "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know that man," Peter would declare. And after the whole ordeal, Peter would weep bitterly. He couldn't believe that he had actually betrayed the Lord Jesus, but he had. The crucifixion would come and go. Jesus would die. 3 days later, he would rise again from the dead, and Peter would be the first to go inside the empty tomb. He would walk in and he would find the grave clothes lying there, the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus. And he would be ultimately a witness of the resurrected Lord. Now here in John chapter 21, we find the meeting where Jesus restores Peter to the ministry and recalls him to the ministry that he had been called to in the first place. Peter had fallen, but thank God Jesus has a long arm. Aren't you glad? He had failed Jesus, but Jesus has great mercy. And I want you to know Jesus sees in us what no one else can see. He sees the potential we have if we'll allow him to be the Lord of our lives. And Jesus saw that in Peter. And Jesus calls Peter to the ministry again and says to Peter, "Follow me." This morning on the outline, I want to give to you, I want to speak about 3 invitations Jesus gave to Peter that day and to every Christian believer this morning as well. And the first call from Jesus to Peter is a call for love. As Jesus says to Peter, "Love me lavishly." I want your love. Do you love me, Peter? This is a strange passage of scripture and a strange encounter. Because it seems that Jesus is just pressing and pressing and pressing Peter and asks him three times over, do you love me, Peter? People will want to discuss the Greek words for love in this chapter, but the reality is Jesus is calling and testing and challenging Peter to declare his committed, devoted love to Jesus. We note that Jesus pursued Peter's love. Verse 15, when they'd finished eating, Jesus said to Peter, Simon, do you truly love me more than these? And again, a little later, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And a third time, Jesus says, Simon, do you love me? Over and again, Jesus asks Peter the same question. Do you love me, Peter? Do you love me? You know, it's here in this Gospel of John in chapter 13 that the Apostle John writes about Jesus, that Jesus was about to show his disciples the full extent of his love. What was that full extent? He would go to the cross and he would die for his disciples. He would die for the sins of the world. He would show the full extent of his love. Now Jesus is calling Peter to love him in response, in return, in reply. I remind you that Peter has already seen now that Jesus has laid his life down. And he's already seen that Jesus has picked his life back up again. Peter knows here that Jesus is the one who gave his life for Peter. And now the Lord Jesus calls for Peter's love in return. Why is it so important, we might ask, that Peter love Jesus? Well, love is a powerful motivator. I say to you this morning that if any two friends are going to stick together, it will be because they love each other. Wouldn't you agree? I would say that if any marriage is going to work and be successful, it's going to be because the husband and wife love each other. Wouldn't you agree? And I would say to you this morning that if any Christian is going to continue to follow Jesus in faithfulness and service through the years, it will be because that Christian, that believer, loves the Lord Jesus. It will not be out of some sense of duty or routine. Those things perhaps exist in religious settings, but loving the Lord is our chief call and our chief concern. And Jesus calls for Peter's love. He pursued Peter's love and he pressed Peter's love. He says, do you love me, Peter, more than these? Now, much discussion has taken place about who the these were, what the these were. Some have said, Jesus was saying, do you love me more than these do? And others have suggested that he's saying, do you love me more than you love all of these? The reality is Jesus wanted Peter's first and foremost love. He wanted Peter to love him more than he loved anything else in life. And you know, as we think about the disciples, as we think about the decision that Peter made on that Sea of Galilee a few years earlier when he left everything behind to follow Jesus, we understand that was a decision of commitment and faith. But listen, friends, Peter would live for a long time beyond the ascension of Jesus. Peter would live maybe another 30 or 35 years beyond the resurrection of Jesus. It's one thing to serve Jesus for 3 years when you're surrounded by miracles. It's another thing to walk with Jesus and serve him faithfully through the difficult seasons over the next 35 years. And Peter would need more than faith. He would need love for Jesus. And Jesus would call, he would press Peter's love. Do you love me more than these? And Jesus provoked Peter's love. Verse 17 says, ultimately, when Jesus asked Peter the third time, do you love me? Peter was hurt. Because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. He may have been hurt, but this exchange was necessary because there would be many challenging times to come, many seasons ahead of Peter that would be difficult, where only loving Jesus with all of his heart, mind, soul, and strength would keep him on the straight and narrow and would cause him to continue to serve Jesus as Jesus had called him to do. And so Jesus calls to Peter with that question, do you love me? Love me lavishly. The second call to Peter from Jesus in this story is the call to service. As Jesus says to Peter, serve me sacrificially. Let's talk about Peter's call to the ministry for a little bit. And let me look at you in the face this morning. Look up at me, everybody, and let's think about this question this morning. How many of you are aware that the Lord Jesus has called you to a place of service in his kingdom? Come on and say amen. A place not only of worshiping the Lord with song, but worshiping the Lord with service and actually ministering and working and accomplishing purposes for God. We're called to that. And the Lord had called Peter to the ministry early on. And we remember Peter's first calling. There it is in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed Jesus. And the next 3 years would be powerful. But then came the time for Jesus to lay down his life. And suddenly things would become a whole lot more challenging. And Jesus would speak to his disciples and would warn them, I'm going to be taken, I'm going to be arrested, I'm going to be crucified, and all of you are going to flee away. You're going to fall away. I will strike the shepherd, Jesus would quote from the Old Testament. I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But Peter stands up and makes a flashy confession in the midst of that. Look at Matthew 26, 33. Peter replied, Jesus, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. I tell you the truth, Jesus answered. This very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. But Peter declared, even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you. And all the other disciples said the same. Here it was. It was just about time for Jesus to be taken. And Peter makes this bold, arrogant confession. Even if everybody else falls away, Jesus, I'll be the last man standing if I have to be, says Peter. How many of you know that confession did not last very long? He spoke the words, but when push came to shove, action spoke louder than words. And we remember Peter's failed character as Jesus is arrested. Here it is in Matthew 26, 69. Now Peter was sitting in the courtyard and a servant girl came to him. You also were with Jesus of Galilee, she said, but he denied it before them all. I don't know what you're talking about, he said. Then he went out to the gateway where another girl saw him and said to the people there, this fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth. He denied it again with an oath, I don't know the man. After a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away. Then he began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, I don't know the man. Immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken. Before the rooster crows, you'll disown me three times. And he went outside and wept bitterly. What a terrible experience there in the courtyard of the high priest. You think Peter remembered what he had said to Jesus just a little bit earlier? I know he did. And he remembered what Jesus had spoken to him. And yet in a moment of challenge and fear, Peter lost confidence and he lost courage. Perhaps he thought they would remember that he was the one who chopped off the soldier's ear and they would arrest him as well. Whatever the cause, Peter lost courage and he denied that he even knew Jesus. He disowned him and he failed. And as the rooster crowed, Peter went out and wept bitterly. He wept out of regret, no doubt. He wept because he was so ashamed of himself. He wept because he had promised Jesus one thing and his promise wouldn't even last more than a day or so. He was ashamed. He was brokenhearted. He had looked at he had seen Jesus during that arrest and no doubt on the cross. He knew what Jesus had gone through, and now here he is. He's failed Jesus. We remember his first calling, his flashy confession, his failed character, and yet as we come to today's story is a story of great restoration, and we rejoice in Peter's fresh commissioning. How many of you know it's wonderful to be given a second chance? Isn't that good? It's wonderful. Some of you here today are in my camp. You've needed a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance. Maybe you've never done what Peter did and said to someone, I don't know. Probably nobody here in the room today has ever been challenged with being a Christian and you've said, no, I'm not a Christian. No, because you were ashamed somewhere or afraid of something. I doubt if anybody here has really done that. But we have missed it and we have failed the Lord in a variety of capacities in life. But thank God that our God is a God of second chances. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. And he's a God of restoration. Hallelujah. And here we come to this story, and Jesus is calling Peter back into the ministry. Wouldn't it have been disappointing if Jesus had said about Peter, well, I knew he was going to do this, and I'm done with him. But thank God Jesus wasn't done with Peter. And by the way, even though Peter had failed, Peter wasn't done with Jesus either. He had failed, but let me tell you, Peter was there with he had disowned Jesus, but he was there at the resurrection. Peter was there. He was there in the weeks following that. He was there in the upper room just after Jesus ascended to heaven. Peter had not abandoned Jesus, even though he had failed Jesus and had disowned Jesus in a moment of cowardice. Peter was there. And Jesus knew Peter's heart. Now he presses him because, listen to me, we've got to be, if we're going to be able to last in ministry for Jesus, it's going to be because we are devoted to Jesus. Amen. Amen. And Jesus challenged Peter's love because he knew that would be necessary if Peter were going to stand the test of time in the ministry. That's why we've seen again and again down through the seasons of time, ministers who fall out of the ministry because they lay aside and fall out of their devotion to Jesus. I want you to know, if you're not devoted to Jesus, you'll never make it in the ministry, whatever ministry that is. People begin to lay down their relationship with Jesus and their strength falls away from them and their lives fall into chaos and they begin to experience a weakening, just as Samson experienced a weakening when the power and the presence of God went from him. We have to stay deeply and devotedly connected and committed to Jesus if we're going to live lives that are going to make a difference for eternity. Are you here? We cannot just be organized. We cannot just be disciplined. We cannot just depend on self. We can't depend on all of these things. We have to stay close to Jesus and we have to continue to love him with all of our hearts. Amen. And Peter experienced a fresh calling from the Lord. He Jesus pursued his love and challenged and tested his love. And now he calls him back and assigns him back into pastoral ministry. And he says to Peter in verse number 15, feed my lambs. In verse number 16, take care of my sheep. In verse number 17, feed my sheep. And Peter receives that call again from the Lord Jesus that would thrust him into a life of lasting ministry. And Peter would live that ministry. He would live that out. He would follow Jesus, and he would work for Jesus. He would serve Jesus faithfully and sacrificially. So Jesus says, love me lavishly, serve me sacrificially. And the third call from Jesus here in this story, follow me faithfully. Jesus says to Peter in this story, follow me. I believe Jesus is saying that in three ways this morning. Follow me despite the difficulties and distresses that may come along in life. Listen to what Jesus says to Peter. Now, sometimes we wish we knew the future, don't we? I would say on this occasion, Peter probably wished he hadn't heard what the future held. Sometimes, if we were to know the future, it would be bad news. We would know that ultimately, if we follow Jesus, we're going to be all right. But how many of you know, how many of you have been through more difficult things in life than you ever imagined you could have been when you were a young person? Anybody here? I know some of you are saying, well, I still am a young person, Ben. Well, yeah, you know what I mean. So sometimes if we knew all of that ahead of time, we would say, oh, Lord, take me home to heaven now. But Jesus gave Peter a word of prophecy about his future that was uncomfortable. He says in verse number 18, I tell you the truth, Peter, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, follow me. So Jesus says to Peter, follow me despite the difficulties that are going to be ahead for you. Peter would ultimately end his life in crucifixion. Historians would tell us that Peter was crucified upside down on a cross, his hands stretched out there on the cross because he refused to be crucified in the same fashion as his Lord Jesus. And Peter gave his life for the cause of Christ. There would be difficult roads for Peter, but Jesus called him to follow closely despite the difficulties that would come. Secondly, Jesus says to Peter, follow me despite the differing decisions of other disciples. Listen to this conversation that took place there, verse 20. Peter turned around and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved, John, was following them. When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? And Jesus said, if I want him to remain until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Friends, let me give you a warning. Some people will follow Jesus all the way and some will not. We have to make up our minds that whatever anybody else does, we're going to follow Jesus. Could I have an amen? If other people fall along the wayside, if some people drop out in doubt, if some people fall away to the world, we have to make up our minds. Whatever others do, we're going to follow Jesus all the way home. That's the calling Jesus gives to us. Follow me. Despite the difficulties that may come along, follow me. Despite what other people may do, you must follow me. And the last word from Jesus, I believe, is this. Follow me during these days of delay, because ultimately Jesus says, I will return for you. There's a promise up ahead. And verse 22, Jesus says, if I want John to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? And by the way, John would die as well, much later. In the mid to late 90s, John himself would die. He'd be the oldest apostle who would die. But he didn't live until Jesus returned. That's been nearly 2,000 years ago. John is long gone to heaven. But Jesus said, doesn't matter what the path is for somebody else, you make up your mind to keep your eyes on me and follow me. Can't keep your eyes on other people because they might lead you astray, right? We've got to keep our eyes fixed and focused on the Lord Jesus and continue to follow him all the way until we see Jesus face to face. He is coming again. Listen to me. At the end of our journey here, we will see the Lord Jesus again. He will come for us. In one way or another, we're going to meet Jesus someday. Let's follow him until we see him again. Would you say amen? Amen. And so we close this morning with these three simple applications. Number one, what Jesus wants more than anything from us is our loyal, lavish love. So love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Listen to me, friends. Do everything you must do to stay madly in love with Jesus. That's the first command. Number two, Jesus calls each of us to his ministry, plans, and purposes. And he qualifies us spiritually for that calling. So receive his calling and serve the Lord with passion and priority. He's called us to be busy at work in doing the work of God. In our own lives, in our families, in our church, in our communities. He's called us to serve him. And number three, following Jesus wholeheartedly in this world often takes us through difficult trials, painful persecution, and spiritual warfare. But heaven is ahead for the faithful. So look above and look ahead and follow Jesus all the way. Amen and amen.